Please be seated. Let us all say amen. Indeed, that song there just helps me to know that in the midst of everything that goes on, the third person of the Godhead, if he dwells in me, he will comfort me and he will rescue me. How's everybody this morning?
Good.
Well, if you're all right, tell your face this morning, I feel good. It's all right to smile. You know, life is not that bad. If it is, just wait until you die and die without the Lord, and you'll find out how bad it truly is. It's good to see everyone this morning. I hope and pray all is well with you. This text in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and following, Paul talks about these nine attributes that the Spirit have, and that these nine attributes ought to be the nine attributes that governs, that directs, and that guides our life. He starts out with these words to encourage the believer. In verse number 22, he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering. Amen. Because I'm learning to be patient with folk, because you know how we like to write people off. Amen. But the Bible says it's long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Paul says against such there is no law. The rest of those couple verses says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affliction, with its passions and its lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit." And yesterday we talked about that a little bit in our men's class, is that the physical man wants to be always in control. But what really ought to control you and I as members of the body of Christ ought to be the Spirit of God. See, we ought to be the most loving folk on the face of the earth when no one else is. We ought to be joy, full of joy. We ought to be. We must be. Let me change my terminology. Because if anyone is going to manifest the fruits of the Spirit, it ought to be us. But I'm sad to say the reason why we don't is because we're too busy being in the way of the Spirit. And I'm going to show you this morning as we look at the Word of God, how you can have joy when all hell breaks loose around you. Amen. I'm learning that the joy that we are supposed to possess, that comes from man. It comes from God understanding what God requires of us. See, when we talk about joy, Webster defines joy, a feeling or showing great joy or delight. And then the word, that word there is in the form of a noun. But when you look at joy from a verb, it means rejoice. Amen. And if anyone has the right to rejoice, it ought to be you and I.
Amen.
But eventually, somewhere down the line, you're going to have to give up you if you want to have the joy that I'm talking about. Last week, we talked about love. Four definitions for this word. And in looking at this word love, only two of these definitions are found in the Bible. The first one is agape. What is agape? Self-sacrificing love. I believe my Lord and Savior showed that example.
Right.
John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son." And you know the sad part about it? All he asked of you and I is to give ourselves to him. Why is that so difficult? Just don't want to do it. Somebody said it. Are y'all afraid to say it? I'm not afraid to say it. We just don't want to do it. And then we found out that another definition is philo. And that's where we get the word Philadelphia, which means
brotherly love.
And that's exactly what it means. We ought to have such a brotherly love of one another. And I heard you this morning in Bible class and how our relationship ought to be. Our relationship with one another ought to supersede any physical relationship we should have. That's right. You know why? Because we have a relationship with Christ that supersedes all of relationships. And when you really understand that relationship with Christ, You talk about brotherly love. How many of us would give our right arm for our brother? Easier said than done. Then we found eros, which means a physical love. And then the last one was, which means a natural or family love for one another. But now we're going to talk about something else. We're going to talk about J-O-Y, joy. And I want to show you that when you really understand who you are, this word here transformed your whole life. And I'm going to leave that up there as I start looking at this lesson. Because when you stop and think about the Holy Spirit that God has given to each and every one of us that have obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, God gives us something very special. Title of the lesson, before I go any further, who owns you? Okay? Who owns you? It's easy to say that Jesus owns me. But Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and round about verse number 46, why calleth me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you? Y'all quiet. Because I want to show you this joy that I'm going to talk about this morning will transform your entire life if you allow the Holy Spirit to dwell in you, if you allow the Holy Spirit to comfort you. And in the midst of everything that goes on around you, the Holy Spirit is designed to rescue you.
Amen.
That's why we sing that song. I didn't sing that song because I had nothing better to do. Because that song has some meaning to me. That song tells me that when God lives inside of me, I have a different mindset. My attitude changed. My lifestyle changed. And the things that I do, I don't do because of me. I do it because of the God that dwells in me.
Amen.
And see, when you understand that, man, life has meaning. How many of y'all are depressed? Don't raise your hands. Because you'll find out that when you understand the joy that we have in Christ Jesus. But see, in order to receive this joy, you got to ask yourself a question. Who owns you? Or what owns you? Or what do you own? You don't even own the body that you're housed in. Did you not know that?
Yeah.
Your body belongs to somebody else. You just taking possession of it for a little while. Amen. And one day, guess what? You're going to give it up.
Amen.
You know who it belonged to? It belongs to the worms. Amen. Some of y'all might know. That's right. But there's something that's housed in this body that the worms can't touch.
That's right.
That the devil can't touch unless you give him permission.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the soul that encompasses the body of mankind. That soul is reserved for the day of judgment if that soul understands who or he belongs, who or she belongs to. Point number one, who do you belong to? We belong to the Lord. Or do we belong to that other fella? See, I'm a firm believer the one you feed is the one that leads. If you feed the fleshly man, guess what? That you're looking at me funny. I got some Bible. Romans chapter 6 and round about verse number 16. Paul says, know ye not to whom you yield yourself servants to obey? His servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But thanks be to God that Stan once was a servant of sin. Oh yeah, see, I can shout about this. I know where I came from. And I know that if I don't keep my hand in the hand of the man from Galilee, guess where I'm going? Right back to where I came from.
Yeah.
And so Paul says, know you not to whoever you yield your service to? That's who you're going to obey. That's right. So you know how we always say, well, that's just the way I am. Well, if that's just the way you is, then that means God ain't in you. Amen. Because Paul here shows the believer that whoever you yield your service to on a scale of 1 to 10, where is God really? Sunday through next Sunday. Who gets most of your time? Y'all quiet. Who gets most of your attention? If it ain't the Lord, guess what? He might not be in you. And I say that with all the love in my heart. Because Paul here shows, to wherever you yield your service to him you will obey. But in verse 17, Paul says, but thanks be to God that you were once the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Then being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. That's right, church. I don't know about you. I try my best to live a godly life. And when I mess up, I fess up and I move to the next level. I don't wallow in what I did not do, because I've learned something. That's what Satan wants. If you didn't do something yesterday for the Lord and you're thinking about, that's where he wants to keep your mind. I don't know about you. This is the first day of the week. What happened last week?
Gone.
What's going to happen in the weeks to come? I have no idea. But I know one thing, that if he allows me to see that week through, I'm going to glorify. Amen. I'm going to praise his holy and divine name. And I'm going to give him what's due him. Point number two, joy in the midst of trials and tribulations. How can you find joy in the midst of trials and tribulations? I think James put it this way. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the trying of your faith works patience. Amen. But let patience have her perfect work, that you might be perfect and complete, wanting nothing. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask it of God, who gives to all men liberally and abrade of not. That's in the book of James. I'll let you find the chapter. Amen. Somewhere down the line, as the believers of God, we must understand that joy means that we rejoice in the Lord in the midst of everything that goes on in our everyday life. See, in the midst of joy, in the midst of trials, joy comes when an individual remains steadfast, when an individual remains unmovable. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58, Paul says, be ye therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Who do you serve? Or what do you serve? Or who serves you? And I'm learning, church, that when you serve Jehovah, there's an attitude that you must have. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and round about verse number 24, the Bible said, a servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men. Is that one of the attributes? Yes. Gentle to all men, apt to teach patience and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Let me stop right there. Paul is not writing these words to the unbeliever. He's writing these words to the members of the body of Christ. And why would he say it to those that are captive by Satan? Let me show you. Go there real quickly. This is a sidebar. This ain't going to cost you nothing. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and round about verse number 24. Look at what Paul says. Paul says, a servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach patience and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Can you be in the body of Christ and oppose yourself? Yes, you can. Can you have obeyed from the heart the gospel, been added to the body of Christ, and oppose yourself? Yes, you can. Paul is saying there are some of us in the body of Christ that oppose ourselves. You ever fought with yourself?
Yes.
Huh? Come on, y'all looking at me funny. Yeah. You ever fought with yourself? How many of y'all had to wrestle to get here this morning? That's right. Because when you have to wrestle and when you have to think about what you're going to do, you oppose yourself. And so Paul says, but a servant of the Lord doesn't do that. When the first day of the week roll around, I'm up, I'm ready, because I prepared myself last night before the first day of the week. So when the first day of the week roll around, whether you hear or not, I'm ready to preach the gospel. I'm ready to show you that he's alive and well, because you can see him right here in me. And see, when all of us get to that point, you'll understand what this word means. See, I have joy in the midst of everything that goes on, because God's promised me, I won't forsake you and I'll never leave you. But the question is, who owns you? That's right. I got a car out there that I'd like to say I own it.
me and the bank on it. And you know the quickest way to get on your feet is miss a couple car payments. Amen. They'll come pick it up in a heartbeat. So do I own it? No, I'm leasing it with somebody else. Y'all don't hear me this morning. But church, I want to try to get us to see the plainness of who really owns us as children of God. Jesus said, many in that day will say unto me, Lord, Lord, did we not in thy name prophesy? In thy name cast out devils? And he'll say, depart. It's not that I don't know you. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Matthew chapter 7 and round about verse number 21. See, in the midst of everything that goes on in our lives, church, we ought to have the confidence and the reassurance that nothing or no one can stop us but ourselves. Amen. It was the psalmist David that said in Psalm division 30 and round about verse number 5, for his anger endureth but for a moment, and in favor is in life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy, joy comes in the morning. Amen. I don't know about you, church. I've learned how to cry, get over it, and move on.
Amen.
Amen. You know why? Because if you stay in those tears, guess who's going to meet you there?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Satan. He knows what it takes to move us from our steadfastness. See, when we understand who we are, when we learn every day to glorify God, it leads us to a level of joy that we glorify God every single day. And we have a mindset to glorify him every single day. Psalms 95 and verse number 1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Boy, if that don't move you, check your pulse. Because you just might be here and don't even know that you are gone. Church, I want to motivate us. I want to encourage us. Joy, who owns you? See, I don't know about you, but I'm owned by Jesus. See, he owns me. How about you? He owns me. And as he owns me, guess what? I can't do what I want to do.
Nope.
You ever want to do something and you know you can't do it because of who you say?
Yeah, that's right.
Some of y'all know it. The rest of y'all, just catch me later. But see, when you understand who owns you, it brings about a different meaning in your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Powerful text. Because this text right here shows me as a child of the Most High God. Because I willingly went into that water. Because I willingly was allowing him to make me, to mold me, to shape me in the image of his son. I did this voluntarily because I understood something. My life no longer belongs to me. That's why I do what I do. That's why I get excited the way I do. And when you are not doing your job, that's why I get mad.
That's right.
And I have that right. Don't look at me funny. Ephesians chapter 5, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So I have the right. But I would rather spend more time edifying and building you up and reminding you and encouraging you than to beat you down. Why? Because if I can motivate you and encourage you, somewhere down the line, the preacher might need a little help. Amen. Amen. Somewhere down the line, I might need you to put your arm around me and say, brother, it's going to be all right. Because we're going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what y'all talked about? Isn't that what you talked about in Bible class?
Yeah,
that's what you talked about in Bible class. I'm just giving you an example. Look at what Paul says to the church at Corinth. What? Can't go no further. Why he got a question mark there? Somebody help me out. Why would he put a question mark at the beginning of this lesson? Help me out, y'all. If you don't know, go back and study. Why he got a question mark here? Because he's trying to get us to see the importance of who we are. You'll have to back up into the verses to understand what this what mean. He says what? Know ye not that your body is the temple
of the Holy Ghost which is in you.
Better let that resonate. You better let that soak in. So who told you you can do your thing? Who told you you can come when you feel like it? You can do whatever you want to do and still call yourself a Christian. Who told you that? Because Paul here saying that the Holy Ghost that God gave you bought you. And he bought you how? With the precious blood of the Lord and Savior. Look at what he says. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are what?
Not your own.
Can you say that to your neighbor? Can you turn and tell your neighbor, I don't belong to me? Don't tell a lie now. Can you turn and tell your neighbor that I don't? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Because I'm talking about joy. Really. I'm talking about Jesus owns you. But can you turn and tell your neighbor that I don't belong to me? So when it's time to do kingdom business, that supersedes any other business. Why? Because I don't belong to me. I belong to somebody else. I noticed y'all didn't do it. Okay, I understand. I understand. He goes on to say, verse number 20, for you are bought with a price. And I think sometimes we don't understand the price. Like I said, if I stop paying a note on that card there, I'm going to pay the price. I'm going to have to learn how to pat and turn it. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I'm going to have to pat one, turn the other one. Well, I'm trying to work with me this morning, church. Work with me. I'm trying to show you something. We have been bought with a price. And that price was the blood of Jesus Christ. God so loved the world, he allowed his son to suffer on a cross, to go through a cruel ritual of dying for you. And we take that for granted.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18 is the memory verse, brothers. The Bible says, for the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that are perishing. But to those that believe, it's life. Oh yeah, I know sometimes this stuff gets old to you. Amen, Wallace. I know sometimes you just be wishing, well, I wish you'd hurry up and shut up and sit down. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah, you don't have to say, you don't have to, amen, I know. I've been there, I've done that. I know that sometimes you don't want to hear what I got to say. But as long as I'm in this tent of this tabernacle, I'm going to stir up your mind by way of remembering. So when I see Jehovah, he says, well done, Stan. They didn't want to hear it, but you said it anyway. Enter into the joys of the Lord. See, church, I understand what joy is because I understand who owns me. I understand that I have been bought with the price, and that price was the blood of Jesus Christ. Not worthy to even unlace his shoes. Isn't that what one man said?
That's right.
But Jesus said, I've come that you may have a life and have it more abundantly. Church, I've learned that when I understand who owns me, it's not difficult to glorify God. Paul says here, you've been bought with the price. Attitude. Look at the attitude. What does the semicolons mean right there? I'm not I ain't the smartest in the world. But I learned something from the Word of God. All of this, give me this pointer. Where the pointer at? Let me point out something. I don't get too excited up here. But I'm learning that, and that right there means something. And you know, and I failed English. Y'all said, this preacher's crazy. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I understand who owns me. And I understand that I don't have to speak perfect. All I have to speak is the Word of God.
That's right.
And when I speak it, I let the Holy Spirit that dwells in me. You're looking at me funny. 1 Peter chapter 4 and round about verse number 11. Peter says, if any man speak,
let him speak as the oracles of God. And if any man ministers, let him do it with the ability that God supplieth, that in all things God might be glorified. Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to say, for I'll put my words. I believe what my book says. And church, and I'm learning that when you really understand who owns you, you'll understand the price that was paid. You know, if I had to pay my blood for my family, might have to think about it a little while. Amen. Y'all looking at me funny. You would either. See, it's easy to talk a good game, but when that rubber meets the road, that's the true test of our Christianity. My life, I'll lay it down for my family, hopefully. I don't lie to me. See, you can lie to you all day long. I'm not going to lie to me. Somebody was to break through that back door with an AK-47. Amen. And say, all of y'all that believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you're going to die. I wonder how many of us would break our necks getting out that door. See, that's when the rubber meets the road. The rubber meets the road is when you have to stand up and say, I'm willing to sacrifice my life for you. That's what Jesus did. He sacrificed his life on the cross because he loved his Father and he loved his Father's creation. And he was willing to be persecuted, to be spit upon, to be placed a crown of thorns, to pierce him in the side. He was willing to do that for me. And the least I can do is glorify him. That's all I have to do and live for, and I can't do that. Do I really believe who he is? I'm still talking about joy, because I'm talking about who owns us. Paul goes on to say in the rest of that verse, therefore glorify God in your body, in your spirit, in your spirit. Ooh-wee. That's a powerful text, because he concludes this, which are God's. So where is God at in your life? Better be in here. If he ain't in here, guess what? You don't have him. Paul here says, glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. Church, I hope and pray I've said something just to encourage your heart. Amen. Who do you belong to? Because see, when you belong to the Lord, when you belong to Jesus, you do what Jesus commands you to do. John chapter 13, 34 and 35. New commandment I give unto you is that you love one another as I have loved you. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples. How? By the love we show for one another. And seeing the love that I'm talking about is agape. Self-sacrificing love. And when we have that for one another, we'll change the world around us. Because we'll change it right in here. I want to encourage you and remind you, as members of the body of Christ, you have been bought with a price. And so Paul says, therefore, glorify God in your bodies, which are God's. I want to encourage you. I want to remind you, stay on track. 28 days into the new year. Have you found it slipping away from you? Have you found church business is not the kind of business? y'all should see some of the faces that I'm looking at. 28 days. Church, if you can't get excited about this, you know what? I understand why life is miserable. I'm learning that when I can get excited about the one that hung on that tree, life has a whole lot of meaning to me. A couple passages, then the message is yours. John chapter 4, and round about verse number 10. John said, herein is love, not that we love God, but he loved us. And he sent his son to be the perpetuation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected, made perfect, matures where? In us. And I'm learning, church, that when we really love the way God wants us to love, you know what the first order of business ought to be in our everyday life? Giving him the glory and the praise that's due him.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 4, as I close, and round about verse number 4. J-O-Y, from the verb sense, means rejoice. Paul writes these words to the church at Philippi. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. It ain't about nothing you possess that can make you more happy than knowing who you are. Oh, yes, I've learned that. I've learned that nothing on face of the earth can bring me joy more than my Jesus.
Amen.
I'm learning that when I put him where he belongs in my life, he says to the elements, peace, be still. He belongs to me. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And church, that's what I'm trying to get us to see. That when we really wrap our arms around the Savior, Satan takes off. Matthew chapter 4, remember Jesus? Three times tempted in the wilderness. He used the word of God. And the Bible said at the last temptation, after he said, it is written, the Bible said the devil left him for a season. See, I don't know about you. I know how to get him off of my back. Stay with what's written. He gonna leave me, but I already know he coming. Oh yeah, I can walk out this door and I know he might be standing right outside the door ready to slap me. But church, that's why you and I must keep our minds focused on what's truly important. He says, and the peace which surpasses all understanding shall keep your heart. One translation says, it'll guard your heart. And you know how we like guards, don't we?
Yeah.
We got more cameras. We got more eyes around us than the eyes that is really on us. I'll let you figure that one out. He says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Conclusions, who owns you? If you're here, members of the body of Christ, you've fallen short, repent, get on the right track. If you're here and you haven't obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, the opportunity is yours. You've heard the word of God, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Do you believe what I said? John chapter 20, verse number 30. Many other signs were done in the presence of his disciples, not written in the book. These are written that you might believe, and believing you might have eternal life. The Bible says you must repent of your sin, Luke 13:3, 13:5. Tell your nay, except you repent, you'll perish. Confess that he is the Son of a living God. That's an ongoing confession. Matthew 10:32-33. Jesus says, confess me before men and I'll confess you before my Father. But deny me and I'll deny you before my Father. Then the Bible says we must be buried in water for the remission of our sins. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, there's an antitype that saves us now, namely baptism, not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. And then he adds you to the church, to the body of believers. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And then, you know what he requires of you? Revelations chapter 2, verse number 10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. I'm looking for my crown, not the one you gave me, Kathy.
Okay.
That's all right, me. You know what? I'm looking for the crown that fadeth not away. And then Paul, John said, is reserved in heaven. If you're here and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.